again, why don't we just look to the Lord in prayer? Father, at this time, we are turning our attention and our service to what your word has to say for us. I pray that you might be our teacher through your Holy Spirit. I pray that you would get the glory. I pray that you would enable me to speak the truth in love, and this whole service would be made clear and understandable to each that might see and be a part. How we thank you and praise you for the salvation that's ours in Jesus Christ alone. And we want you to get all the glory now in this. In your name I pray. Amen. Andrew, if you're going to record this, give it the title, For All to See. For All to See. You've come tonight knowing that there's a baptismal service here. Everyone has heard about people being baptized. Multitudes have experienced it. But how many truly understand the significance of it as is recorded in God's Word? And that's what my prayer is this evening, that God might enable me to just go through the basics, and we might be able to discover some of the teachings that God's Word gives us. We want to make sure we have God's direction on this, and that we are doing that which pleases Him. In a few minutes, Mark and I will dismiss ourselves, and we'll go back, and we'll both get ready for that. And as I'm speaking, and you're sitting down, and you're looking at these curtains behind me, if you do not have a clear view of that from where you are sitting, we're going to be singing some songs when Mark and I are getting ready. Just scooch over. If I could pick this up and move it, I would do that, but I can't do that by myself. So I'm just giving you the heads up right now. Think about that. After a while, when we're actually getting ready, that we'll be opening the curtains, but there's no use anybody having to sit like this to see what's going on when we've got plenty of spots where you can move to and you can easily see that. All right, let's see what Scripture has to tell us about this. People quite often refer to the fact that Jesus himself was baptized by John the Baptist. And that's true in Matthew 3, Mark 1, Luke 3. These three Gospels record for us that very event which took place. John's baptism, though, was not Christian baptism. Why do I say that? His was a baptism of repentance toward God. He had come and he was baptizing people, encouraging them to take this step. Repentance is what? It is a 180-degree change of direction. I have been moving this direction with my life, but now I am repenting and I am going to move this direction with my life. John's baptism was a baptism of repentance for the nation of Israel as they awaited their promised Messiah. Now, Jesus did not need to repent of any sin, did he? He was perfect. He was sinless. And we even find that in Matthew's gospel, when Jesus went to Matthew to be baptized, he said, I have need to be baptized of you. And Jesus' answer to him in Matthew 3:15 was something like this: Thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. What did Jesus mean by that? It was necessary that the Lord Jesus as the Messiah of Israel to identify himself fully with his people. And so he was baptized by John the Baptist. Before the Lord returned to his Father after his resurrection, his work on earth was completed and he was about to return to heaven. In Matthew 28, 19 and 20, we find the words of quite often is referred to as the Great Commission. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. And the Lord Jesus commanded his disciples to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Before our Lord returned, he gave this assignment to his disciples. They were to go make disciples of whom? Of Christ. And they were to baptize them. This was their assigned task that he gave them. So, we find that this is where the command is actually given. And we would look at this, why would a person want to be baptized? Because before the Lord went to heaven, he instructed his disciples to go and make other disciples and baptize those that put their faith and trust in the Lord. So we see it is something that the Lord has given and commanded. Now, here's a question. And here's where people begin to fall by the wayside, getting caught up in error. Why did you say that? My question here is this. Is baptism required in order for a person to be a Christian and to be able to go to heaven? No. Is baptism required? No. Well, you say, well, that's what you say. Can you back up that with anything from Scripture? I take you to the thief that was hanging alongside our Lord Jesus Christ. Before our Lord gave up his life for you and for me, there was a thief on each side. One of them, you know, ranted and raved against the Lord, but the other one began to speak to the Lord, and it was evident that this one was not against the Lord. He believed in the Lord. And we find in Luke 23, the 42nd verse, he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily or truly, I say unto thee, today thou shalt thou be with me in paradise. If it was a requirement for a person to be baptized in order to be able to go to heaven to be with the Lord, then evidently the Lord lied to that man by his side, didn't he? He didn't lie to him. Because that's not what baptism does. We can find verses of Scripture so familiar to us. John 3:16, most everybody here could quote it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Did it say in that verse that a person also has to be baptized or they're not going to have everlasting life? I didn't find it in my Bible. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith. By grace are you saved through faith. I mean, it's only a saved person that's going to get to go to heaven, isn't it? And Paul made it very clear, by grace you're saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. And then he said, not of works, lest any man should boast. What are you saying, Pastor? Well, what's a work? Work is something that I do. Work is something that I do. A work might be saying a prayer. A work might be giving money in their mind, thinking that, well, if I give enough money, then I will get to go to heaven. If I am good enough and kind enough to people, God will accept that. No, God accepts nothing that you and I offer him. His son provided it all and paid the full price. What's that have to do with baptism? A baptism would be considered a work. If Jesus did this much, but you have to do your part, you have to do your work in order to be saved. It's by grace we're saved through faith alone and nothing else. But some are mistaken, misled. They've been mistaught about this. And we find that they are honestly under the impression that when a person is baptized, that is what makes them a Christian. Is that what we find in Scripture? Turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to Acts chapter 8. We'll look at three specific examples. And I want you to notice here, there is a particular order. There is an order that we're going to see. In Acts 8, at verse 35, it tells us then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, look here, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. What was the first thing which took place? It was the testimony of what? Testimony of what? Belief in the Lord. That's when a person, for by grace are you saved through faith. That's John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And here this Ethiopian eunuch in that wilderness, he testified of his faith first in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he was baptized. He was already a Christian. Then he was baptized on the testimony of his faith, his belief in the Lord. Let's look at Acts 16, the familiar story of the time when Paul and Silas were in prison, in jail. They had been beaten for their testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find that Paul and Silas were singing, praising the Lord. And at midnight, God sent an earthquake and it opened all the doors and it broke free all of the chains and the shackles. All of the prisoners could have escaped, but not one of them did. The prison guard, assuming what? If you're a prison guard and all the doors are thrown wide open, what's the chances of you finding any of those prisoners left in there? Not very good. And this guy knew what the consequence was for losing a prisoner. That was, it's life for life. You lost them, you lose your life. And it says that he took out his sword and he was ready to take his own life. And Paul called out and he said, "Sir, do yourself no harm. We are all here." And the Philippian jailer couldn't believe his ears. It says that he called for a light and he sprang in there. And this 30th verse is so significant. He fell down before Paul and Silas, and verse 30, he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Wouldn't you think if somebody were asking Paul the Apostle a point-blank question, what do I need to do to be saved? If the answer was, "Well, the first thing you've got to do is be baptized," don't you think he would have said that? What did he say? "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." The whole significance there is, if they in your house will believe, they too will be saved. "And they spake unto him the word of the Lord." They got a chance to preach to him and to all that were in his house. "And he took them the same hour of the night. He washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house." Once again, what is the order? Is it baptized and you're a Christian? No, you become a Christian first through placing your faith, your trust, your belief in what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you. Once you do that, then you can think about getting baptized. Acts 18:8. "And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed." They got saved. "We believe this. We want to accept him as our Savior." And what's the last two, three words? "And were" what? They were baptized after they became a Christian. Which brings us kind of to some conclusions here. Besides the fact that the Lord commanded his disciples to go and teach others about me, and when they have accepted me, you baptize them, we find we ask ourselves, what does it mean? Jesus commanded it, and we've seen some examples of it. We find that Paul spoke of individuals in his epistles of being baptized into Jesus in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. What's the significance of this? Why are we having a baptismal service this evening? You say it doesn't bring salvation to someone. You say that it's, according to you, Pastor Wicker, it's only for Christians. What does it mean? And what is its significance? in the 21st century. In Romans 6:3, Paul said, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?" Now, is this water baptism that Paul is talking about here? That we were baptized into Jesus when we went into the water? And at that same time we were baptized into his death? And the answer to that is no. Scripture talks about this being baptized in or with the Spirit. That's exactly what Paul is talking about here in Romans chapter 6. In 1 Corinthians 12:13, a reference that we read a couple of times this morning, I read it again. "For by one Spirit are we all baptized," or placed into. That's a simple word to explain what baptism means, to be placed into. "By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit." In these two passages especially, Romans 6 and 1 Corinthians 12, Paul is describing the work of the Holy Spirit, one of the members of the Godhead, whereby the Spirit places the believer so definitely and literally, actually, into the body of Christ that we read in Romans 6 these words. We start again in verse 3. "Don't you know that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus," those of us that have been put into Jesus or into Christ out by the Spirit, "don't you know," Paul says, "that we were baptized, we were put into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism," this Spirit baptism, "into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Boy, Pastor, I got to tell you, that's as clear as mud what you just said there. What we believe Paul is teaching in relation to the Spirit baptism, that which takes place the instant a person puts their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that individual is so identified in and with the body of Christ through the work of the Spirit that in Romans 6, Paul says, "Do you realize that you were baptized into his death? And that you were baptized into his burial and you were raised?" What Paul is saying is this: we believe that Scripture teaches the baptism of the Spirit is not something that we pray that would happen to us, some experiential thing that's going to really stir up our emotions. It's something that happened the instant we put our faith and trust in him. We were so positionally put in Christ that when Christ, who died for our sins in our place on the cross, what Paul is saying is that this is so real that when Christ died on the cross 2,000 years ago. You died on the cross with him. When they put him in the ground 2,000 years ago and buried him, you were buried with him here in Romans chapter 6. And just like 3 days later he rose again, he said, positionally, spiritually, as a believer, you rose with him because Christ was doing this for you. Now, water baptism, where does that come into the picture? We believe that water baptism is a visual picture for our benefit. It is a visible picture of an actual spiritual operation that was completed by the Spirit in every true believer's behalf. But we didn't see that happen the instant the person became a Christian. The Lord Jesus Christ instructed his disciples, you go, make disciples, you baptize them. We see the early church immediately began baptizing those who were putting their faith and trust in Christ. What is the supposed to be? It is a visual picture to help us understand what took place by the Spirit of God. Explain it, Pastor. In just a few moments, Mark and I will be in that tank. And I am going to put him underwater. That, we believe, is a picture of what Paul said. Don't you realize that we were baptized into his death? And that we were buried with him 2,000 years ago? Putting Mark under the water is a picture of the death and the burial that the Holy Spirit said, placed us in the body of Christ that we could receive benefits of. Now, relax, Mark. I'm not going to leave you there any more than the Lord stayed in the tomb. I won't even leave you there for 3 minutes. The Lord was there for 3 days, and in 3 days, I will be raising him out, and that is the picture of what the Spirit's work was in our behalf. We died with him, we were buried with him, and we were raised again in newness of life. Reread Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Reread 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. Water baptism is a voluntary witness by an individual that they want to be identified with the one who loved them and gave his life for them. And they want to serve him as one of their own. I trust this helps. I trust this has maybe explained some things. Is this something just peculiar to Hiawatha Bible Church? No, it's practiced around the world. There are different modes of baptism. We know and understand that. We believe in baptism by immersion. But since our Lord was here and the church was established, those true followers of the Lord have wanted to obey his command. And they have wanted to unashamedly be identified as one of his own, thoroughly. Just like the Lord, our sinless Savior, was identified with the people he had come to save through John's baptism of repentance. This is the picture of the work of the Spirit that we couldn't see take place But we can see it acted out in this visible object lesson. Let's look to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Thank you, Father, for the chance to turn to your word and see some truth that you have for us. I trust that if there are some that have been mistaken in their ideas of the purpose of this, does it make a person a Christian? Is it necessary to be able to go to heaven? I pray, Lord, that they have clearly seen through Scripture that this is not supported at all. This is a service of witness and testimony and thankfulness for the work that you have done in the heart and life of one through the person of the Holy Spirit, who by that union we were able to experience death, burial, and resurrection in our behalf, Father, when your Son hung there and was placed in that tomb in our place. We thank you for this now in your name. Once again, remember, if you